Lord, we thank you this morning for your mercies and for your goodness. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you for the message of the Lord this morning. We know the entrance of your word brings light. Now let that light shine in our hearts today, bringing us more and more, closer and closer unto the perfect day in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Let's see if we can give the Lord a good hand clap here this morning. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it seems like every time I want to get back into this Book of Revelation series, the Lord preempts me, and again this morning, you know, so. But I will, in a brief one this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of Jude, chapter 1. Just one chapter in the book of Jude. And my message this morning is looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jude chapter 1, which is just one chapter in Jude, verse 21, I start at verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Can you say amen? So I want to talk about us looking for his mercy every day of our lives. You know, there are two of my favorite subjects in that Bible. One of them's got to be faith, of course. You know, we teach on that all the time because Jesus said, you know, when I come, shall I find faith? And also without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, but, you know, I think right next to that and perhaps even above that has to be the mercy of the Lord in our lives. And today, we know that the coming of the Lord is approaching. All you have to do is look around you for the signs. And sometimes you wonder, you know, am I ready or am I going to be ready? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. But I also want to talk about, you know, every day of our lives. What the mercy of God do for us if we look unto his mercy. Now, when I was a young man, I mean, I had, you know, I thought I had a lot of faith, and I believe I did. I think the Lord gave me that faith and so on, you know. But, you know, I used to think that I could believe the Lord for anything, and I still do. And by the grace of God, I can still believe the Lord for anything. But at some point in time, you know, I used to think that, you know, everything I could believe the Lord for and I could get from the Lord was because of my incredible faith, you know, which by the grace of God, the Lord did give me faith, you know. But later on, as I grew up in life and I got to understand the Lord a little more, I recognized that it wasn't exactly my big faith, but it was the greatness of the mercy of God. Amen. That's right. It is the mercy of God. Now, you must have faith. There's no question about that. But the mercy of God is what brings to us anything at all. And that every one of us that is sitting here today needs the mercy of God, not only to make it unto eternal life, but in every day of our lives. And I'm standing here today by the mercy of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I didn't want to be, maybe he put it in me and so forth, but I don't think that I, you know, desired to be, a preacher or a pastor or anything like that, you know. But the mercy of God, you know, and the gifts and calling of God, they are without repentance. Amen. Now, we've preached messages on the mercy of God. You have to go back and listen to the everlasting mercies of God, the sure mercies of God, the mercy seat, and all of these messages. You know, but today, I want to focus on one aspect. As we think of the coming of the Lord, you know, we are getting, you know, more aware that the coming of the Lord is getting closer all the time. And you begin to think, you know, you have to be ready for the coming of the Lord. You know, and there's so many things, you know, that may make you not to be ready. You know, And, you know, Jesus talked about it all the time. He gave us an example in Matthew 25 of the story of the 10 virgins. And as they were waiting, 10 of them were ready, and they had made preparation. Not only did they have oil, but they kept, you know, extra oil, you know, in case the lamp went out. And at some point in time, everybody's lamp went out. And there was a lamp trimming time, and those that trimmed their lamps and saw that the fire had gone out, you know, they had extra oil, and they were able to put in extra oil and rekindle the lamp. Others that didn't, you know, they were scrambling at the last minute, and they had to go look for some, you know, and when they went, the master came, and the door was shut. And, you know, it's a sad story, but that story there looks like almost 50% would not even be ready. Now, you may say, well, you know, one time the disciples asked the Lord, but who then can be saved? I mean, Jesus would say some of these things and so forth, and it was like over their head. And they finally said, Lord, but who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men may not be possible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. Now, I want to tell you today, it's not going to be by, now, we must have faith. There's no question about that, you know, but it's going to be for you to be looking for his mercy, looking for the mercy of God, the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, how do you do it on a daily basis? Before we get to the translation of the rapture and so forth. On a daily basis, what does that mean? That means you get up in the morning and you are looking for the mercy of the Lord. Amen. Now, you remember, there can be no miracle without expectation. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 18. Turn with me quickly to Proverbs 23 and 18. And let's see what the scripture says. For surely there is an end. Amen. And that expectation shall not be cut off. So when you wake up in the morning, I mean, it could be you have a challenge or it could be something you are believing God for and so on, you know. But you stand up in the morning and you look for the mercy of God today and you say, I know that surely there is an end. There's an end to this situation. Well, you know, even illness and challenge and sickness and all of these things do come sometimes, but they are not permanent. Amen. You know, they are temporary. And by believing God, repeating his word, and looking for his mercy, you can have the victory every single time. Amen. Now, your expectation shall not be cut off. Well, what about somebody who doesn't have expectation? Well, I'm going to do something kind of different here in a little bit. Since the beginning of this year, by the grace of God, I brought some messages about the promises of God, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, and I'm going to do something here and do a quick review myself of some things that will help you to get the victory by using the mercy of the Lord every time. Now, it's almost like going back and walking the lessons that we've learned in some of those messages. But then again, it's slightly different. Now, I know that the Lord promised a year of remembrance as we were entering into this year. And I have seen that already working in my life. Amen, somebody. I see that already working in my family. You know, and then the Lord, he came back and told us how to unlock the power of God's promises. Now, I'm going to do a quick review here. And I want to invite you to go back and listen to some of these messages. I do. Because the Lord does tell us incredible things sometimes. Now, one of the things I want to bring to us is to our attention, to remind us, is that our promise is not a promise unless you know that it was promised. Are you still with me, folks? Something is not a promise unless you know it was promised. Now, so there are a lot of promises in this Bible. This Bible is loaded with promises. But if you don't know what was promised, then to you, it's not a promise. You know, so the first thing is for you to know what was promised, or that it was even promised. Now, can you just imagine parents and so forth have children and little children, and, you know, they promise the kids sometimes that they're going to do this, or take them out to get ice cream, or take them to, you know, their basketball game, or whatever it is, and so on, you know. And that's a promise once the parent says that. Now, if they didn't say it, it's not a promise to the kid. Maybe they're hoping they will do it, but they haven't said it, so it's not a promise. Now, but when they say it, then it becomes a promise if the kid heard it. And then they're going to latch onto it and say, Mom, you promised, Dad, you promised. You know, so it's a promise only if you know that it was promised. Praise the Lord. Now, once you know that it was promised, then what else should you do with it? You know, so let me review my notes here, and I want to cover something very, very quickly. There are some steps that will help you to remember how to claim the promises of God. The first thing, of course, is what I said, is for you to know what he promised. The second thing is for you to put him in remembrance of what he promised. And when you're putting him in remembrance, here's a new aspect that I'm going to bring in this today. When you're putting in remembrance of what he promised, do it with expectation by looking for his mercy. Not because of, you know, something that you thought you deserved, but because of his mercy. Praise the Lord. And then the next thing is for you to thank him for what he's already done. When you're thanking him for what he's already done, then you, after that, you praise him for what he's yet to do. And how do we praise him? Well, we tell him how great he is. We tell him, thou art the very God, and there is none like you. In all the kingdoms of the world, there is none that can stay your hand. And this situation that I'm facing today is nothing before you, Lord, because you are the Almighty God. And with your outstretched arm, I'm looking for your mercy today. And I know there is an end. And my expectation shall not be cut short. And as you begin to look for his mercy, you begin to thank him for what he's already done, and you praise him for what he's yet to do. Then you get a hold. Next step is you get a hold. You know, you must believe the Lord, right? You know, so you believe the Lord. You have faith in his promises. You get a hold of his word, and you have faith in that word. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, you know, that faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, and the evidence of things that we've not yet seen. Now, it is not faith if you see it. You know, for it to be faith, it must not be there. You know, I mean, it's not faith for me to believe that you are sitting in these seats. You are there. There's nothing to believe about that. You're already there. You know, what God already done for me that I have in my hand, that's not faith. I already have it. So what is it? What is there to have faith for? You know, but faith is when it's not there, but you are believing God for it. Amen. Amen, somebody. Then the next thing is for you to get a hold of somebody that has some real faith and real power and join yourself in and pray. You know, why do we do that? Because in the book of Matthew, chapter 18 and verse 19, Jesus said, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them. So you don't need three, you don't need four, you don't need five, you don't need 20 people. You only need one more person that can believe God with you. Amen. Jesus said, I say unto you that if two of you, so that's yourself and somebody else that has some faith. Now, don't pray or hang around people that have no faith, because they are going to drain you and they are going to be negative and all of that. You don't want any of that. You need somebody that has some real faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the next thing, of course, that you want to do when you are doing that, is you want to be in expectation. You want to be in expectation, because there can be no miracle without expectation. You want to be in expectation all the time and trust the Lord, you know, that he's going to bring it to pass. And finally, you know, why am I reminding you of all these things? Because, you know, I was thinking about this over the weekend. The Lord reminded me of it, and it came to my heart that I should remind you of these things. And lastly, is for you to do what is written in the book of Job, chapter 22, and starting at verse 21. Let's turn to Job 22 real quickly, and starting at verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby shall good come unto you. Amen. Hello. That's how you do it. This is in the book of Job, chapter 22, and verse 21. When you acquaint yourself with the Lord, you will be at peace, he said. Receive, I pray you, the law from his mouth, and lay his words in your heart. Now, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Amen. If you return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. I remember a message like that at the end of 2016. Now, you shall also put away iniquity from your tabernacles. When you do all of these things, he said in verse 24, then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and even the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. You know, I mean, you want some real blessings from the Lord, you draw closer to God. You acquaint yourself with the Lord. You put your mind on him, and you do all of these things that he says here. You know, and it says, yea, the Almighty shall be your defense. Amen. Amen. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. Now, these are promises that are there, but you have to do these things that he's saying in order to enter into them. You know, he said, for then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and thou shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt also make your prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Amen. What does it mean to pay your vows? Well, you know, some people say, well, you know, the Lord, if he does this, and I'll do the other thing, and so on. Well, when the Lord does that, people may forget to go back and do what they vowed. Now, the Lord has no pleasure in fools. You know, if somebody vowed something before the Lord and they don't do it, in the book of Proverbs, we are told that that's like a fool. Say, be careful when you open your mouth before the Lord. Because, you know, what you say, he's listening, and he doesn't want you, you know, to not keep your words. You know, so pay your vows. And when you do all of that, he said, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon your ways. And when men are cast down, see, then thou shalt say that there is a lifting up. Can you say amen? Now, lifting up means that you are lifting them up. You are being an encouragement to them when they are cast down. But it also means that when others are down, that you have a testimony that things are looking up for you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And he shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it's delivered by the pureness of thy hands. I want to tell you something. When God's doing great things for you, you know, and God is using, you know, we had a testimony today. A sister said, you know, she prayed with somebody at her job, and the Lord did great things, turned things around in her womb and so forth, the placenta and all of that and so on. I want to encourage us also to do one thing, to go the next step. There's a story in the book of John, chapter. This was not part of my message. You know, I just threw that in because of the testimony that was given today. In the book of John, chapter 9, there's a story that Jesus, when he healed a man that was born blind for many, many years, 40 years and all that, and he healed him. And after a while, you know, they put him out of the synagogue and so on. And then in verse 35 or so, I think it is, Jesus found the guy and he says one thing to him. He says, let me read it. This is the book of John, chapter 9 and verse 35. So Jesus found the guy and said, do you believe on the Son of God? This was after the miracle. So I want to encourage us, you know, to be a deal closer. Close the deal. When you are on the roll, when the Lord worked a miracle with you, through you to somebody else, when you get a chance, when they come around next time, close the deal. Amen. And say, now, do you believe in Jesus that gave you that miracle? You say, I believe. I say, well, you know, salvation is yours. All you have to do is believe the Lord, give your life to him, and remember, don't go back. Let's say the worst thing come unto you. I mean, let's take out every advantage that we have to close the deal. Amen. You know, because time is short. You know, we're not going to have a lot of chances, you know, to witness to people. But every chance we get, especially when God did something great, when through the name of Jesus, by faith in his name, a miracle was wrought in their life, then we need to hold them to that. Amen. Hold them to that. Jesus did the same thing. He went around, found this man, and said, okay, now, do you now believe on the Son of Man? He said, yeah, I believe. And then Jesus held him to it. You know, so after the miracle, he did the miracle first, but then he held him to it afterwards. So when we have opportunities like that, you know, let's, you know, the Lord will deliver the island of the innocent. The Lord will save people through your hands. Amen. He says in the book of Job 21, 22, as we're reading. But as the Lord saves people, as the Lord helps people through our hands, you know, let's reach out and give them the full blast message of the gospel. Amen. The gospel of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. You know, let's not be ashamed of that gospel. I am not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Now, let me get back to my message and finish this here. That the mercy of God, that he has promised us wonderful things, this same mercy of God will let us know that he will bring it to pass. You know, now, God showed us how this message and these points that I read was in the message called Unlocking the Power of God's Promises. And after that, also, the Lord went and told us, you know, how that God brings his messages to pass. I mean, his promises to pass. You know, there are many things in the Bible that tells us that in order that it might be fulfilled, what God already said, then he began to put things into motion. Now, I'm doing a review for us on the things that God has told us and has promised us this year, because the Lord wants us to enter into victory. Amen. Now, but most importantly, today, I am talking about the mercy of the Lord. How you can use the mercy of the Lord daily in your life. Every day, looking for the mercy of God. Every day. And also when it comes to the coming of the Lord. Thank you, sister. When it comes to the coming of the Lord, looking also for his mercy unto eternal life. Now, God, by the grace of God, we started with the Lord in the Spirit. Having started in the Spirit, don't think that you are going to now make it, perfect in the flesh. It's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to be our own strength. You know, people are talking about the coming of the Lord and so forth. It's not going to be by your strength that you are going to be found ready. It's going to be by the mercy of the Lord. Amen. Look to his mercy every day. Every day looking to the mercy of the Lord. Now, let me read one of my other favorite scriptures here in the book of Romans chapter 9. When I deal on this subject of mercy, I always come back, you know, to this scripture and to read the story. And I won't read the whole story just because of time. But I'm going to share something with us here, which is very precious. In this story, in Romans chapter 9, we are told from verse 9 that the word of promise came to Sarah. I said, at this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. Now, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children, verse 11, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, but that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her that the elder shall serve the younger. Now let me pause for a minute and I explain that. Rebecca was pregnant with twins. The story of Isaac and all of that. And while she had the twins in her, neither of the twins was born yet. They hadn't done any good nor evil. They were still in the womb. The word of promise and prophecy came unto her and said, you have twins in your womb, but the elder will serve the younger. Now you say, well, now why did the Lord say that? You know, why is that? You know, well, here is what it says. He even said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Verse 13. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? I mean, why would God pick the younger over the elder? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. And he gave the answer. He said, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That settles it. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now, what you need to be doing every day is looking for his mercy, that you will be among the vessels of mercy. You know, now, it's going to be by the mercy of God that we are going to escape all these things that are coming to pass and be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. It's not going to be by your own strength. It's going to be by the mercy of God. Because he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And whosoever he wills, he also hardens. You know, and none can stay his hand. Neither can any man say unto you, what doest thou? You know, so our job is to believe God and ask and cling unto his mercy every day. Praise the Lord. Now, he also hardeneth the heart of Pharaoh in those days. Made Pharaoh's heart to be hardened so that he would not believe and would not release the children of Israel. You know, and God wanted to show his mighty power. Now, the conclusion of all that is written in verse 16. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. Now, that doesn't mean that we should not run. We must run the race. You have to balance all the scriptures. We must run the race, but the outcome, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 16 and the last verse, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. I mean, you can do all these things you want, but how it turns out, it's going to be by the Lord. It's going to be by his mercy. Now, we must, those of us that have received the knowledge of his grace. The Bible says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live a life that is in soberness, a righteous life and a godly life, looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking for him. That's Timothy chapter 2. And verses 13, 11 through 13 and so, you know, so we're looking for the mercy of our God all the time. We remember that his mercy, you know, has already appeared. The grace of God has already appeared unto us. Amen. Now, what then should we do? Should we then say that, because it's the mercy of God, whatever will be, will be? Well, we don't know what's going to be. Only God knows that. Amen. Nobody knows what's going to be. You know, I don't care who they are. I don't care what they think they know. Only God. And God is not obligated to share everything with us. He can tell us what he wants to, you know, because the secret things belong unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 29 and 29. And the revealed things belong unto us. Now, the things he tells us, we rejoice in them. But he doesn't have to tell us everything. And whether he tells us everything or not, it's all in his plans. But we must trust him and we must believe him. Now, some of us have lived a life of sin. And in fact, many of us lived a life of sin before we came to the Lord. And how did we come to be in the Lord? And how is it now that today, you know, we no longer have pleasure in those things where we used to revel in the past because of the mercy of the Lord? It is the mercy of the Lord, you know, amen. And when God has had mercy on you, now some people that God has had mercy upon them, now they are clean through the word that the Lord has spoken to them. Now they are clean because their life is turned around. Now you can now turn around and forget that it was by mercy that where you are where you are, and then begin to condemn somebody else. That's not what God wants us to do. Amen. We're looking for the mercy of the Lord in our lives every day, but we extend the same mercy and the same compassion unto others, knowing that God is also able to save everyone as well that trusts and believes in the Lord. Amen. And if you are here today, I want to tell you that in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, this is one of the best scriptures that I learned when I was a young man, and it kept me going. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, it doesn't matter what was in the past. If you come to Christ, you are a new creature. Can you say amen? That's right. And God is able to wipe away all that and give you a new beginning as you look for his mercy daily. Now, also in things that we need to get from God, and I have just a couple of minutes left, in the things that we need to get from God, whether it's for healing, whether it's believing God for deliverance, whether it is believing God for anything that God has promised us, either through his word or through his spoken word to you, you have to combine faith. Of course, last week we also talked about faith and patience. You have to combine patiently waiting for the Lord. But today I'm talking about looking unto his mercy. I'm talking about knowing that after you have done all these things, after you believe God, after you do not everything, it is still by the mercy of God that you are going to come out on top. Amen. You know, now, some people do believe God, and yet tragedy strikes in their life. You know, and you are believing God, and good things are happening to you. What's the difference? It's the mercy of the Lord. It is the mercy of the Lord that's keeping you. It is the mercy of the Lord that's keeping your family. It's the mercy of all these young folks and so forth like that, you know, the mercy of the Lord that's keeping you. I mean, some of you, you know, have done things, you know, like I asked you today not to text and drive. A lot of you have been texting and driving and so on. But the mercy of God has been helping you. But you won't do that anymore. Amen. Now, the mercy of God is the same thing that's going to bring us to the throne of grace. You know, remember, the mercy seat was placed even above the ark. It's the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We need the mercy of the Lord. You know, as you're looking and waiting for the coming of the Lord, don't let the devil discourage you about, oh, you can't do that. You can't make it. You know, there's sin in your life and so forth. The mercy of the Lord. Hallelujah. The mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord. Now, it is the mercy of God that brought, you know, that great salvation plan down to us. And it is the same mercy of God that's going to keep us until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like us to stand to our feet here this morning. I prayed that the Lord would have mercy upon everybody that will hear my exhortation today. I prayed that prayer already before I came here. And as the service was going on, I was praying it again. But I'm going to extend an opportunity for you, since we are preaching on the subject of mercy. I am going to extend an opportunity to you to be come forward and be showered with the mercy of the Lord. If you need the mercy of God in your life for anything. Now, this is the aspect that's always challenging to people when we call for the prayer line, because everybody's saying, well, you know, I don't know if I should get up and go because somebody might be looking at me and so on. Well, you know, never mind who's looking or who's not looking. You get a hold of the Lord. Now, if you want the mercy of the Lord in your life regarding anything at all, also, if some of you have doubted whether you are going to be able to make it to the translation, make it in the rapture, it's the mercy of the Lord. Amen. Now, if you want that mercy, I want you to step forward. I'm going to pray with you. here for just a few minutes. You say, Lord, I need the mercy of God. Remember, it's all by His mercy. It's not your faith. I mean, faith is wonderful, you know. And if anybody has faith, I more. Paul said, you know, I more. You know, I have faith just like anybody else, perhaps even more sometimes because of the gift of God. But I understand the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord, you know, you can have faith all you want. If He doesn't have mercy on you, then what? You know, so it's the mercy of God that's going to bring His goodness into your life. My mercy will not depart from you. You know, a covenant of mercy and a covenant of peace, the Lord said He will never take from you. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming. You came unto the Lord, not unto me. I'm going to pray, and I already did, but I'm going to pray with you right now that the mercy of the Lord will never depart from your life. The mercy of the Lord. You know, David, it was the mercy of the Lord. I mean, he committed great sin and everything, you know, but the Lord had mercy. The Lord said, my mercy will not depart from him. Hallelujah. And even he said, if his sons or his children, if they do any evil and so forth, I will chastise them, but my mercy will not depart from them. And the Lord put his mercy smack down on the line of David. And all this nonsense things that Solomon did, despite all the goodness of God in his life, the mercy of the Lord was with him. You know, God is the one that chooses to do that. Now, we don't choose to do wrong thing and expect the mercy of the Lord. Anybody that does that, they don't have the seed of God in them. You know, but when you have the seed of God in you, what you are saying is, Lord, have mercy upon me. Amen. Amen. Two men went to pray. Lift up your hands and let's pray. The right kind of prayer. Two men went to pray. And Jesus looked at them. And one man strutted his stuff and said, Lord, I'm not like the other guy. I fast twice a week. I do this. I do that. I'm the elect. I'm this and so forth. I know the mysteries and all that. You know, I did all that, you know. And, you know, the other man said, Lord, he couldn't even lift up his head. He was just beating on his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord, because I'm a sinner. The Bible says that that man that cried for mercy, he went home justified. The other guy that thought he was good and everything, his prayer went nowhere because he didn't understand the mercy of God. He thought it was by all the things that he has done. And so, now, I want you to pray for his mercy upon your life. Take a minute and pray for his mercy upon your life. Open your mouth and pray. Ask God for his mercy. Like that man said, Lord, have mercy upon me. I want to go in the translation, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Let me be counted worthy to be among those that will escape all the evil that is coming upon this world and to stand before the Son of Man. Every day in my life, I believe in God that there shall be an end to any struggle that I'm having. I'm looking for his mercy daily, and my expectation shall not be cut short because of the mercy of the Lord. Begin to lean upon his mercy. Begin to call upon his mercy. One blind man, he called upon Jesus, have mercy upon me, thou son of David. Have mercy upon me, thou son of David. Now, the prayer for mercy is a prayer that God can never reject. God will never reject your call for mercy. Anytime you can ask God for his mercy, no matter what, he will hear you. Father, look at your children that are here today. The Bible says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, looking, you know, he said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking daily for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. May the mercy of God be upon you in your lives in Jesus' name. May the mercy of God be upon your loved ones in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, have mercy upon your church. We need your mercy. We need your mercy, Lord. For our daily struggles, have mercy upon us. For all the things, Lord, that we are believing you for, have mercy upon us, Lord. For Lord, the things that we have done wrong and the unforgiveness of our hearts sometimes against others, have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy, Lord, and teach us to look for that mercy every day of our lives. Believe in you, Lord, for every victory over every battle that we face every day. I'm believing you for the battle for translation. We will win the battle for translation through the mercy of our Lord. We're looking for the mercy of our Lord unto eternal life. The Lord hear you, and the Lord bless you. The Lord be gracious unto you, cause his mercy to be with you, and his mercy shall never depart from you. In Jesus' mighty name. And sometimes, you know, you're praying for some of your children and so forth like that, you know, and they may be wayward or whatever and so forth. Lean and cling on the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord will bring them in. And your loved ones and everything, anybody that you are believing God for, the mercy of the Lord will bring them in. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you.